The parable of the Good Samaritan. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself." "You are right," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him for half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that road, but when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came along, went over, looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.'" And Jesus concluded, "In your opinion, which one of these 3 acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers?" The teacher of the law answered, "The one who was kind to him." Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." Here ended the lesson. Amen.
Let's pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. What would you do if you didn't like the answer to a question you were asked? That's the position the young lawyer found himself in today's text. "Teacher, what must I do to gain eternal life?" he asks. At first glance, the story we have just heard is so familiar that perhaps we take it for granted. We know what it's about. It's about loving our neighbor. But what if I said that perhaps it's more than that? Yes, it's about the attitude we have with our neighbor, but it's also about spending time with Jesus and praying to God. Because how we respond to our neighbor and our walk with God are connected. But the story is also about ethics, because ethics isn't an abstract issue. It's about our character. A character developed through our walk with God, with our focus on Jesus. The lawyer thinks that he needs to do something to earn eternal life. But Jesus' response is that justification through work is not necessary. It is our relationship with God that matters. Jesus states that we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, that we are to love God with all our hearts and to love all that are made in his image. That's not much to ask, is it? Yet somehow, the lawyer had an issue with it and felt the need to challenge Jesus further. Who was his neighbor? at the time that Luke wrote the story, there was an element that the Jews didn't want to be neighborly with. Surely he wasn't being asked to love the Gentiles, the Romans, and the Samaritans, was he? Back then, sadly, life was very similar to what it is today. There was a them-ness culture. So it's really easy to empathize with a young lawyer. And so to help explain things, Jesus tells the wonderful parable of the Good Samaritan. A narrative that really needs no explanation, except in my limited knowledge, I had always imagined the incident happening in an ordinary area, a sort of Cairn of Jesus' era, if you like, where if someone failed to stop and come to your aid, it wasn't a problem because, a bit like the proverbial 55 bus, if you miss one, there's another one in 20 minutes or so. I was stunned to find that the setting for the story was this.
Thank you.
Which, as stunning as it looks, meant that hours, even days, could go past without someone passing the victim for help. So he was very fortunate that three people passed him and had the opportunity of helping him, even if the first two chose not to. The first two that passed by, the priest and the Levite, were both Jews, both fine, upstanding citizens, both the sort of person that you would expect to stop and help, the sort of person that you would expect to stop and help. But like most of Jesus' stories, there's a twist. The people you expect to stop don't. And the person you don't expect to stop, the outcast, the half-breed, the Samaritan, stops. He comforts the victim, takes him to the inn, and pays for his stay. While I was reflecting on this wonderful piece of scripture, I was reminded by my Facebook feed of an event that occurred in 2015 that truly amazed me. And I'd like to share that with you. It must have been pushing on to midnight, and we were settled in bed for the night, when suddenly Ian and I heard a woman screaming. We couldn't quite make out what she was shouting, but we thought she was shouting, "Get him out! Get him out!" So we did the neighborly thing and got out of bed and looked out of the window. Well, it's what you do, isn't it? The screaming woman was in our house right opposite us, so we had the best view. Then we saw someone jumping over a 6-foot wall into her garden, obviously to sort out the burglar. Well, that's what we thought. Then another person jumped over the wall. Then another. Then came a shout, "Call an ambulance." Well, at that point, the penny dropped, even for me, that this was no burglary. So we went into the street to see what was going on. In their garden was a lovely tree, and her son had tried, not for the first time, to end his life by hanging himself. The people jumping over the wall were doctors, nurses, counselors. We never knew we had so many professional neighbors. But of all the neighbors in the street, not one of them failed to help. I went next door where the two doctors had left their three young children to make sure that this man in distress was okay, to the point of going to the hospital with him. These secular people showed us what it was like to love your neighbour, what it was to be a good Samaritan in our times. They didn't care what race, gender, or faith, if he had one, the person in distress was. Their instinct was to help him. And to see an entire street come out at midnight to come to someone's aid was really a moving experience. You see, no matter what you say about the negativity in the world today, there is still such a vast amount of good people, of good Samaritans, helping people in distress. We're told the Good Samaritan offered compassion to the victim. Compassion means to suffer with. In other words, the Samaritan engaged with his feelings. He empathized with him, putting himself in the stranger's shoes and imagining his suffering. He felt for him as a fellow human being, even though they were very different people from different backgrounds. So, let's pause for a moment and ask ourselves if we offer compassion to people that are spiritually distressed, to people who are expanding more than their resources, to those who are suffering from depression, anxiety, loneliness, and a myriad of other issues that we prefer not to talk about. If someone was distressed, possibly even within our community, would we recognize it? And what could we do about it? At the hospice, where I've been on placement, I've witnessed people coming towards the end of their lives, sometimes distressed, trying to process what is happening, what will happen to them once they've gone. And it was an honor to sit with them as they process things. There was one moment in particular, a real God moment, where the atmosphere in the room changed from one of anguish to one of peace, as a patient remembered that God was once described as love. And tears started to roll down her cheeks. When I left the room, I had to really think about what had happened. Because all I could think of at the time, to coin a phrase, was, wow. The story of the Good Samaritan is clearly a challenge for us to love our neighbor. But it also makes us ask who our neighbor is, particularly as our society becomes more fragmented with the Brexit issue continuing to divide the country. Jesus' response wanted to make it clear that neighbors didn't mean the people that lived in the locality or the people that went to the same church or synagogue. From this parable, we can learn that even in the early church, when the world seemed a smaller place, Jesus was pressing the importance that the issue of neighborliness transcended race, culture, and faith. In other words, neighborliness knew no boundaries. We learn that neighbors are not defined by race, faith, or gender, but neighbors are made in the image of God. The narrative teaches us not to rule out anyone, to love God, and to show mercy to those in need, because in caring for others, we serve God. And that, ultimately, is what discipleship is about. Martin Luther King, Jr., reflecting on this parable, once said, "The first question the priest and the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But the Good Samaritan reversed the question and asked, 'If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' Recent statistics state that 1 in 4 people are reported to be distressed in some way. The figure is probably higher when people that suffer in silence are taken into account. It's an issue that will not go away, and there's a growing lack of support. In reality, there are so many people who suffer from depression, anxiety, and loneliness, and they're battling alone. The late actor Robin Williams once said, "I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up alone. It's not. The worst thing in life is to end up with people who make you feel alone." But perhaps more revealing to his state of mind was the quote, "I think the saddest people always try their hardest to make people happy because they know what it's like to feel absolutely worthless, and they don't want anyone else to feel like that." That's really quite a disturbing thought, isn't it? Yet I'm quite sure that it's a common feeling. Perhaps as we start our week of prayer and fasting next Sunday, we might like to prayerfully consider if there is a way we can help people who are distressed. We need to ask ourselves if we're going to be like the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan and just walk past people, ignoring them, because we don't know how to deal with them, or because we don't want to get our hands dirty. Or are we going to be like the Good Samaritan, asking, "If I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to me?" I've got to be honest. I don't know what the answer to the issue is. I know it's an issue that needs to be addressed, though. I know there are a growing number of churches that are creating a safe space for people to come, where it's okay for people not to be okay. And sometimes I wonder if we need a place like that here in Calne. Perhaps as we leave here this morning, we should do so remembering that we believe and follow a person that came to heal the sick and the lame. We believe that the Son of God made flesh, showed love and compassion to all. Perhaps then we could do no worse than to reflect on what Jesus would do in this situation and follow his lead. Amen.